Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Find out that what the Christian said to me was absolutely true, and what the non-Christian said to me was nothing but stinking slander. And I went with it. Don't go with it. Don't go with it. You know, if you don't know that something's true about somebody, if you're not in the situation, you don't automatically assume these things. And one of the things that people do is they'll come up with whatever story that they can so that they don't have to change their life, so they don't have to deal with the Jesus stuff. And what this guy was doing was lying about a Christian so that I would stop talking to him about Jesus. And it's happened over and over. I got nailed over and over and over again. Now, when somebody says something like that to me, I go, who are they? Let's get them on the phone. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa. What are you going to call them? Yeah, I'll call them up and we'll just straighten this out right now, because what they did to you was awful. No, it was so mean. And we need to take care of this whole thing. And you find out right quick what the truth is in that situation. And that's, you know, that's what Jesus said was to be done. You got a problem with somebody, you talk to them, you and them alone. If that doesn't work, then you take one or two people with you to hear the whole story in the presence of everyone, so that every word can be established. And so, you know, that's what I do with people now. And you don't want to be naive. Don't let the world come along and snow you in all kinds of areas. And, you know, we could go off into all kinds of areas. There's a bunch of stuff that goes along with this that I've seen in just every place. And so I'm having a discussion with somebody about science, or I'm having a discussion with somebody about theology, and they start quoting people, or they start quoting a certain thing. And they are so into wanting to win their argument that they'll literally lie to me about what people have said or what certain situations are about, and it doesn't matter where it's at. They'll literally lie to me about all this stuff. And so all I'm saying to you is that you need to be sharp in the sense of being, you know, paying attention when people are coming up with this kind of stuff that's supposed to go against the Bible or go against Christians or go against, you know, whatever. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And so I have to train myself not to be gullible because I'm a Christian. And I didn't used to be gullible, but now I have to train myself not to be gullible. And I think, you know, that's part of the issue with Jehoshaphat here. The guy's gullible. He likes Ahab. He wants to be pals with Ahab. And so he thinks Ahab wants to be pals with him, when all Ahab wants to do in this situation is take the heat off himself and have Jehoshaphat get killed in his place. That's who Ahab is, and Jehoshaphat doesn't know it. He should, though. In any case, put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. And so apparently when they heard his cries, and I'm throwing stuff in here at this point, when they hear Jehoshaphat's cries in this situation, they realize that they're not dealing with the king of Israel. Apparently they know him well enough to know that Jehoshaphat is not him. And so these guys back off on him, and so Jehoshaphat's delivered. God helps him in this situation. For so it was, when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot, facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. And so when God takes out Ahab, it's not this magnificent battle. It's not him fighting bravely in some situation where he's surrounded and they finally overwhelm him or something. It's just some dude with an extra arrow at the end of the battle, and he just takes it and just shoots it, and it just happens to hit Ahab, divinely guided, had Ahab's name on the shaft, basically, and took Ahab out. Ahab, when Elijah was talking with him, when Elijah prophesied against him, this is what he said. He said, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he's gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.'" And then in 1 Kings 22, which is a parallel passage to this, when it sums this whole thing up, it says this: "So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dog licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken." And so God's word comes true. That situation. Meanwhile, Jehoshaphat's been delivered, and he goes down, chapter 19, to Judah. It says, verse 1, "Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem." I like that. You know, I like it that God covers for us. I like it that God takes care of us even when we do stupid things. And that's what he did with Jehoshaphat. But I also like the rest of this passage. It says, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani," remember Hanani? Hanani is the guy who was talking to Jehoshaphat's dad, Asa, when Asa ended up trusting in the king of Syria instead of the Lord. And what Asa did in that situation was he took Hanani and had him put in the stocks, in the house of stocks, and that's the last time you see Hanani. Well, Hanani, I put on this section, the return of the Hanani. Kind of like Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Return of the Hanani. Only it's not Hanani, it's his son Jehu. And so Jehu is like a, you know, he's a chip off the old block. And so Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. I like what Jehu says here. He says, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" When I was a kid, when I got saved, I didn't really get into this, but every once in a while there would be some star, you know, some rock star or some movie star who would make some kind of profession of faith, or they would wear a cross, or they would do something like that. And all the kids that I knew would get all excited about this. And I got caught up to it to a certain extent, but usually I keep my mouth shut, and so I don't say a whole bunch. There was a rumor that Elton John had some kind of relationship with God. The truth was that Elton John was coming over to America, and he was staying with a family down in the deep south. I believe it was in Georgia, and they were Christians. Elton John's been witnessed to. So that's cool. Some of you are going, "Who's Elton John?" Anyway, and then when in the early 80s, Bob Dylan was, you know, he's a classic rocker. And Bob Dylan, you know, it's more, you know, folk rock, but Bob Dylan ended up giving his life to the Lord. And he's in Southern California. He's going to a church in Southern California. He had 3 Christian albums. Yeah, and yeah, he was Jewish, yeah. And so he is Jewish. Yeah, he's still around. In any case, he had 3 Christian albums, and he was mocked mercilessly by the entertainment industry because he was actually following Jesus, and he ended up caving. And part of the reason that he caved, most likely, is because he got put out front way too quick. Should have spent some more time with the Lord before he went out basically into battle. He went out without any armor on, the poor guy. And I still feel for that guy. When I think about it, I pray for him. But, you know, a lot of times what we think that God should do is he should pick one of our favorite stars and he should save them, because after all, they're going to have a huge impact on the people that are around them. And so Chris Pratt gets up and he had his, I think it was 9 rules for living. And in one of those, he was talking about God and that kind of stuff. And I don't want to cap on Chris Pratt, but Chris Pratt is not the guy that's going to save the world. Chris Pratt is not, you know, I'm not looking at Chris Pratt to be the guy that brings all the unbelievers into a real relationship with Christ. I'm not looking at that. I've been around long enough to not get into that whole thing. And a lot of times what people will do is they'll look at guys like Bono, and I'm not capping on Bono or anything, U2 guy, if you guys don't know who that is. I'm not capping on him, but they think that he's the example of what a Christian is supposed to look like. Well, that's problematic when you look at the guy's life. And, you know, that is not what we're supposed to be looking at. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who can't stand Jesus, and they can't stand the things of God. And every once in a while, they'll feel like saying something religious, and you know, that is not the work of God on this planet, in the sense of that's what's going to turn everything around. It's the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's people who live a life that accords with holiness and righteousness and that kind of. It's you guys one-on-one with your friends and family and neighbors and all that stuff, where they can actually see Jesus in your life. It's not going to be some superhero that comes on the scene that turns everything around. That is not the way that God works. If God worked that way, he'd just show up himself, right? Send an angel. That's better than any guy that, you know, you have an angel show up. That's better than anybody on this planet getting saved. And so, you know, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that when we're looking around at the world, we can have this hero worship kind of thing go on. And a lot of these people hate the Lord. And it was Jehoshaphat's problem. Jehoshaphat was enamored by Ahab, because Ahab was somebody who was edgy. And his wife was somebody, you know, she's basically the Kim Kardashian of her day. I don't want to rip on Kim Kardashian, but she's not known for her brains. I'm talking about Jezebel, his wife. She was known by her looks, literally by her looks and by her wickedness. That's what she was known by. And we have exactly the same thing going on in our culture. And we need to be people who love the things that the Lord loves, and we need to hate the things that the Lord hates. And if somebody hates the Lord, I don't need to be aligning myself with them. In fact, I was just reading this last weekend. Check this out. This is Psalm 101. Kind of goes with this. Let me just read it to you. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way or a blameless way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. And it's David talking about his kingship. But you can see the heart behind that. What he wants is purity. And he wants to go after purity. He wants to be pure. He's not interested in the nonsense that the world gets into. And so, you know, again, we need to watch out for it. Just about every reality TV show that I have ever watched, I can't even say I've watched a whole one. Because you just get into those things, and all it is gossip and trashing people and sneakiness and rottenness and that kind of stuff. And it's not something that I'm interested in. I don't like it. I don't think it's right. get back to the Word. Don't love the things that the Lord hates, and certainly don't align yourself with people who hate the Lord. So he gets rebuked, and the thing that happens next is you see Jehoshaphat turning things around. Actually, I wanted to share some verses with you. I forgot to do it. When you're talking about love in the world, again, this is what the Bible says about this. 1 John 2:15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Cool verses. I need to understand that everything that I see with how the world treats people, how the world does things, all of that junk is something that's going to pass away. And what's going to remain is me. What's going to remain is you. You who do the will of God, you abide forever. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And so you have people who go around and they look at Christians and the things that Christians say or the things that the Bible has to say, and they call it wickedness, when it's exactly where the Lord's heart is at. And I could mention all kinds of stuff. Homosexuality is condemned by Scripture. And it's condemned because it destroys people's lives. Just like thievery is, just like adultery is, just like you can go through a whole list of sins. There are things that God condemns because it destroys people. And that's why he condemns it. And so you can look at homosexuality. Abortion is another one of those things. The Bible is clear on this stuff. And you go through, and adultery, you know, and again, we can go through and we can look at all these things, but there are all these things that people want to look at Christians and say, you don't have any right to have an opinion on that that differs from the world's standard. And in fact, those things are good. It is better for a person to get to a divorce than have to raise their kids in a family where the mom and dad are arguing. That is not what the Bible says. In fact, once you get over your argument and start being nice to people, including your husband, including your wife, right? And, you know, we could go, you know what I mean. I'm preaching to the choir here. In any case, the world takes what we have to say and tries to turn around and make you a hater when it has nothing to do with hatred. It has to do with what's right and what's wrong. This is out of the NLT. Same passage a little bit more. It says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. The dark is light and light is dark. The bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free and they punish the innocent. Therefore, just as fire licks up stubble and dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will rot and their flowers wither, for they have rejected the law of the Lord of heaven's armies. They've despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." That's Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. And so, you know, a lot of times when you stand up for a biblical principle, what the world will do is come along, or even what Christians will do, you stand up for a biblical principle and they'll come up and they'll say, "You're a Pharisee. You're a legalist." They'll say things like that to you. Here's what a legalist is. In the Bible, a legalist is somebody who takes a commandment of God and puts a bunch of commandments around it so that you never break the commandment of God. That's what the Pharisees did. So I'll give you an example. The law concerning the Sabbath. So they were big on the Sabbath, right? There are two rules about the Sabbath that you find in the Bible. Don't work, don't light fires. Okay? So it's rest, don't work, and don't light fires. Those are the two rules. The Pharisees came up with 66 more rules so that you wouldn't work and wouldn't light fires. They literally had all these rules on what was work. And so they had dentures back at the day, in those days. So you had, you know, you lost your teeth when you were old. If you took your dentures and you stuck them in your mouth, you were working because you're carrying around dentures, right? And they had what was called a Sabbath day's journey. So you were allowed to walk on the Sabbath, but only so many, you know, so many feet, basically. There's only so far that you could walk. And again, they still do this stuff to this day. A Jew, when they go on an elevator, they will not touch a button on the Sabbath day. Because if they touch the button, you just worked. And if you press that button, there's an electrical charge. You just lit a fire. Is that what God was talking about? He was talking about pushing a button in an elevator? And so they have Sabbath day elevators that stop every other floor in a hotel. It's really fun when you go over to Israel and get stuck in a Sabbath day elevator on a Sabbath elevator on the Sabbath day, because you just get stuck doing this stuff. And so Pharisees were people who just made up rules that were not in the Bible. Doing what the Bible says is not legalism. Doing what the Bible says is obedience. And God's called us to obedience. And so we need to make sure that we're walking in obedience to the Lord. And so, again, when I think about a Pharisee, I'm thinking about somebody who's literally making up a bunch of rules that just aren't in the Bible, and they want to control your life with all of these rules and that kind of stuff. I've had a number of people over the years tell me how I have to worship, tell me what I have to wear at church, tell me how I have to talk, tell me and all this kind of stuff. Do not use slang. And I get to use slang if I want to. Slang is used in the Bible. It depends on the slang. I don't want it to be something that's ungodly, but I can use slang if I want to. Don't use slang from the pulpit. It's like, sorry, this is what I'm always going to be like. And that's the way that it goes. I have been rebuked on some of the slang that I've used. And so I didn't know what it meant. So there have been times when I use popular slang, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "Steve, do you know what that means?" And I went, "No, but it's probably not good, right?" "I think it means this." "No, this is where it came from." And when that happens, I'm just like, "You got a point. Okay. Won't use it again." So, because I want to live godly. In any case, Jehoshaphat gets rebuked by a man of God. And Jehoshaphat takes the rebuke. He doesn't put him in prison like his daddy did. Right? That's a good thing. So it goes on and says, again, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. He went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. When you have a man who is right with God, what you're going to see from him is righteousness. When Jehoshaphat gets rebuked, he goes out immediately. And he starts honoring the Lord in the things that he's doing. If you look in verses 5 through the end of the chapter, it says, he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, "Take heed to what you're doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, no taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. And whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good.'" And so Jehoshaphat goes through and he sets up a godly administration. And what he wants is judges who fear God.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.